jump up, let's get crazy. Jump up, let's get crazy. Welcome to the Round 19 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name's Marcus, and this week I'm joined again by FB Donkey.
G'day, mate. Not overly happy to be here this week after my team's woeful performance on the weekend.
Just reeling you in, mate. Reeling you in. I think I'm only 300 points behind you now.
I think it's less than that. I think it's like 150. Yeah, I think you really are. After me giving you crap for the entire season, I was kind of hoping that I was just going to hold on, but... Three out of the last 4 weeks, my team has just combusted and not performed up to the level. So, I've dropped down to nearly 3,000 in the ranking and things not going to plan at the moment.
I think I've got trades up my sleeve compared to you, so I've got you firmly in my sights, mate, after all the stones you've been throwing. I'm looking forward to zooming past you, but I better not speak too soon. That hasn't worked out too well for you.
Yeah, so listeners, this might be my last episode for the year. It's been great. I've enjoyed hanging out with you guys all year, but if Marcus gets past me, I may not be able to show my face in public again.
That's great. All right, let's do a quick round update, mate. How'd you actually score this week?
Are you trying to rub that in even further? 24 and not much. 24-12 and dropped to 29-47 in the ranking. Just to like a collection of bad points. I brought in Crisp. This week only got 64. I know a lot of players that came in actually did pretty poorly for Sicily, but just got on the low end of that. Hurley, Savage, Simpson, Rocky on field, Wingard, Jesse Hogan. I had Parker as captain in the end. I had to take him 10 minutes into the last quarter when he was on about 110. I thought that was a reasonable bet against Gorn because I didn't have a later option. And so... lost about 70 points to the Mitchell captains as well. So, yeah, just a whole bunch of factors in the end. Just little bits added up.
You had a bit of bad luck there, especially with Mitchell. I think you probably made the right call there, taking a 127. And, yeah, just a little bad luck there, mate. And I think you've had a few of those the last few weeks. I'm a bit fortunate to be reeling you in, but I'll take it.
I can hear you. I can hear you smiling.
Oh, you've been giving me so much crap this year. It's unbelievable that I'm so close right now. I can smell the finishing line, mate.
All right, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. I am still ranked higher. Let's remember that. All right.
I actually got a bit lucky with Miocek scoring 101 and, like you said, beating a fair few premium replacements this week. So I took his score and switched Sicily into the forward line and had the E on Walters. Walters scored 94, so I ended up keeping Sicily for the week. So that worked out okay. In the midfield, absolutely crushed it. I think everyone scored 120 plus except for Selwood in the 80s. It wasn't amazing round. Like I scored 25-51 and moved up 400 spots, but I think it was a pretty high scoring round in general. So I think you more had a bit of bad luck and misfortune there rather than me absolutely smashing it this week. So I'd still take moving upwards. That's still the right direction into 4,244 and peaking at the right time of the year. So I'll take that and look for an option for Sicily this week.
Mm.
In terms of a quick group update, Mark's Tankosaurus is still leading us in fifth. He scored 26.06 and there's about a couple hundred points off first. So good work, Mark, for staying in the hunt there. And in terms of our leagues, Mark, you'll be very happy to know this. We're closing in on the number one league very aggressively. I think we've made ground each of the last 5 weeks. And this week we closed even further. So 600 points down from the number one league, only 400 to go. And more than a month ago, I think we were 3,000 points out. So we've closed that right down, Mark. And with 5 weeks to go, they're very much in our sights.
And as we know, with the leagues, a lot can happen in the last few weeks.
We've slipped with 1-2 rounds to go multiple years in a row. So
I have a feeling that there's some, leagues out there that are running very, very low on trade.
I think when you catch up 5 or 6 weeks in a row, it's probably a good sign that it's a pattern rather than freak accident repeating again and again. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. I think since the buys, we've not slipped up from the number one league. So we'll take that. All right, Mark, we'll discuss a little bit about backline and forward line replacements this week. Dalhouse is out for the year now. So we'll discuss trading options for him.
Have you still got him?
I don't, unfortunately. That's been a major reason why I've been catching up to you, Mark, dumping Dalhouse. We're also going to discuss a little bit about leagues. Without further ado, Mark, let's get into the first question. This one's from Dennis, one of our patrons. He's got three trades left, and he held Sicily last week. So he's looking to trade him out this week. And he's basically asking us for the best options. He's listed a few of the players he has, but so it's a little bit more wide ranging. Yeah. I thought let's, you know, list the best to worst. We did cover this last week, so it shouldn't be too overly onerous. I might start with this one. I think most people would have Lloyd, Laird, Yeo, and Simpson right up the top. After that, I've actually got Brayshaw in at fifth. He's been in ridiculous form, and I think he had quite a few touches again on the weekend against Geelong. Just isn't always very effective with them, so he didn't hit the ton, but still good enough performance to say that he should hold on. So I have him at fifth at the moment. And then I like the bloke that you brought in too, Mark Crisp. I think you were pretty unlucky. It's the first time he missed a 90 in, you know, something like 8, 9, 10 rounds. So you were definitely a little bit unlucky there. He's been a picture of consistency until you jinxed him. So I guess keep that in mind, listeners. Mark's a jinx.
You keep pushing that line, man.
And the other one that's a coin flip with him would be Hearn. Like, Hearn's pretty damn consistent too and hasn't really dropped off so far this year. So, yeah, they're two really close to each other.
I agree with all of that, mate. I know it was interesting that pretty much all of the Sicily options didn't perform well on the weekend, like Hurley, Hearn, Crisp, the types, but I don't think my position really changed on them over the course of the weekend. I think, as you said, Chris got a bit unlucky that the ball was just never in defense. He just wasn't actually needed on the weekend. But I think he might be this week against the Tigers.
The other guy to mention, I guess, Mark, for anyone looking for bargain defenders, and we did get some questions about that, is Jimmy Webster. He missed last week with a groin, and you know he's been out. He missed games earlier in the year with a groin. So that's definitely of concern, but he's only sort of listed as a test for this week. And at 386,000, if you don't have a lot of money and you're looking for a bargain, you might take a risk on him despite the injury concerns. He was in ridiculous form, averaging 105 sort of numbers in the first few rounds.
You would definitely want to save a trade for injury cover with that one, though.
All right, next question is from Paul Maltman from Facebook. And I know you're probably sick of this, Mark, especially because he's contributed to some negative ranking moves over the last few weeks. But Rocky has been asked about again, and he got quite a few likes that question. Should Rocky be traded, mate?
Yes.
How many trades would you need to have to be considering a move like that seriously?
One.
So he scored 66 on the weekend, which is obviously not brilliant. But the previous three, 92, 121, 82, he was averaging about 100 there.
I think you're being a little bit selective with the numbers. In the last five games, he's had one score over 100 and two scores in the 60s. So that's pretty dismal, really. As you said before, a bit of a pattern rather than a bunch of freak accidents happening there. I'm a little bit exposed on port with Wingard, Rockliff, and Gray. So it's pretty tricky when they don't win. Rocky, he seems to be playing all right. He's just really not really dominating games and not being super effective with his disposal. His kicking is leaving a bit to be desired. So, like, you'd want at least three trades left. You'd want to have your goals sorted between overall and league and what you're going for. But he's definitely a liability on field at the moment compared to some of the other premiums.
And I think Port also sort of being shakier than we'd expect, having lost to Freo in GWS. Yeah. And when you were looking at them through the bars, GWS was not a top eight team and Freo was seen as an easy win. And he ended up with scores of 82 and 66 there. And looking at the run home, he's got Bulldogs, which is good. He did score 127 against the Bulldogs only in round 13. So that was fairly recently, Mark. You'd at least be encouraged by that. But then Adelaide, West Coast, Collingwood and Essendon. And even though Adelaide and Essendon are outside the eight, they're actually two of the more informed teams in the comp at the moment. So all of a sudden, their easy-ish draw looks a little bit more challenging on the run home. So that's another thing to think about.
Yeah. And owners like myself won't be overly happily to know that against the Bombers, he scored 29 last time.
Was he injured?
It was pretty clear that in those first four rounds of the season, he was carrying some, or he wasn't fit anyway.
Yeah.
And he did miss the next 3 weeks.
trade boundaries, seriously trade boundaries in order to trade Rocky out, though? He's at 446, so...
So realistically, if you don't have five trades, then you can't be downgrading and upgrading to get rid of Rocky, I don't think. If you have four trades and 100K, I think that you would do it. If you have three trades and 100K, it's pretty borderline.
Would you think about potentially pivoting a mid forward into the midfield and taking a punt on, let's say, a key position forward that's dropped down in value a little bit?
Like Jesse Hogan or something? Probably not. I'm not sure that there's a player in the forwards that you'd really be gambling on that's going to do like way better than Rocky. So that probably doesn't entice me as much.
All right, next question is from Tandy or at A Teal on Twitter. He needs to dump Dollhouse, money no issue. Who does he get? And we got quite a few questions about forward line targets this week, Mark. So I'd like if you can to sort of list more options, accounting for, you know, people having five of the six potential options, they could still have somebody to look at.
Sure. So fully priced, I think that you were talking him down last week in Devon Smith, but it posted 122 on the weekend.
Damn it.
Averaged 97 for the year. That was one of the few things that did actually go right. He's doing well. Another port boy that you probably don't want to get trapped into, but maybe is Westhoff. Just consistently getting it done this year, even though it was only 82 on the weekend. Degoe seems to have the upside, but really relies on, like, he's really inconsistent, so you wouldn't want to pick him for a league. I think Mitch Wallace is now playing as a midfielder with Bont out or with the injuries of the Dogs. Scored 103. Gunston, probably not as consistent as what you would like. And then you start getting into some really speculative picks. So Robbie Gray at 449. If you don't have him, he'll probably be my number one pick, realistically. Toby Green, you just couldn't go there, could you? Even though he's 439. Unbelievably, Toby McLean is also 439.
Yeah.
Not sure what has really happened with him.
Yeah, certainly seems to have dropped off. I think the top four would still have to be Heaney, Gray, Westhoff and McLean. They do seem almost a cut above the rest. And hilariously enough, the forwards have been poorer scoring than the backline players this year. I think we made mention of that a few weeks ago now. Wingard, interestingly, was a brilliant selection for anyone who brought him in at 375K. And I hope a few people did off the back of my fan clubness for Chad Wingard. But 116, 105, 89, 122, 107, 105 and 83 since round 12. So you'd at least be pretty happy about that. And I think if you look at sort of the second half of the year, he's probably comfortably in the, you know, top four forwards at the moment. So he's certainly one to look at despite being 488 at his current price point. Franklin, I mean, he's had a few poor games. He's still averaging, you know, 94. He's priced at 420,000. If you don't have him, I still think it's worth a punt. Just that price point makes that risk probably attractive enough. And then the other one's Tom McDonald. Had some quiet games, so his price dropped a little bit. He's at 455,000. Scored 107 in a loss. And I had my doubts over him as a forward, but he has been fairly dominant up there, pretty consistent in taking strong pack marks and being able to convert off that, and, you know, sometimes get some disposal a little bit further up the ground as well. So I find myself pretty tempted by him this week as a Sicily trade-in.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think he probably surpassed my expectations.
Definitely. The annoying part about that is he's taken away from Hogan's scoring. I'm a little bit skeptical about players, people bringing in players that have already missed games this year for injuries that they've not necessarily fully overcome. I think that this is when teams are getting down to three or less trades, this is not the time of year to be bringing in injury risk players, which is why, despite the discount, players like Webster or even Buddy and Tom McDonald, I can see the appeal, but because the upside is huge. And I guess we're playing a game where you may want to gamble in the short term and you only need them to play for 5 weeks, but geez, you wouldn't want them to bring them in and then get injured at this point.
Definitely have to recognize that risk. Anyone with more trades would be more tempted by those sorts of plays. Otherwise, you might just take a little bit more of a vanilla punt in, you know, even a Mundy type, because I guess even Wallace, you know, is one that had some questionable preseasons.
Yeah.
How about Bailey Fritsch, Mark? For people who are left with him, we got a few questions about whether or not to upgrade him. He's scored, I think, still pretty decently. He hasn't scored below 70 in the last six rounds. I still think is performing at about expectations. He's averaging 78 for the season, and his six-round patch, most recent 6 rounds, wouldn't see him dip under that. But it certainly isn't as attractive as when he was, I think at one stage, 98, 87, 87, and 111 in the mid-season mark there. So a few people thinking about now moving him on. Any thoughts about that? Is it too late to really see much value in that, or is it still worthwhile considering? He's at 415,000, so he's 5K decent off price. Buddy, for example. Yeah.
I think that most people made the decision to keep Fritsch because they didn't have enough trades to keep upgrading. Like he's not a player that you pick and expect him to match a premium. He's someone that you like, where you can't get every position fully upgraded, so we're going to keep Fritsch on the field. So if you did that, but then you found yourself with extra trades, I can see why you'd get rid of him. He's playing really, really well still. Definitely in a different role now where playing behind the ball a bit more. But, yeah, it doesn't seem like he's going to be getting very close to those premium numbers with only 2 scores over 100 for the year. So if you got trades, get rid of him, I'd say.
Next question is from Steve McKenzie from Facebook. He's currently sitting 8th in the Supercoach League with 3 trades left, and he's asking whether or not it's worth burning some trades to increase his chances of getting in, or to conserve trades so that, if he does get in, at least he has a good shot of competing come finals time. Now, a question that comes up a fair bit and a very valid one, and one that's really tough to balance. What do you find yourself doing in these types of situations, right?
Either way, you're gambling, really. So what are you gambling on? Are you willing to take the risk that no trades this week to give you a better chance once you get there? Or do you want to go all out and make sure you get there and then hope to gamble that you're not going to get injuries once you're there? So they're both gambling, and they're both just different sorts of gambles. I'm not sure whether it's amazing strategy or that's the perfect way to do it. And I think it's all like it's a psychological decision, like what level of risk and level of psychological risk-taking are you willing to go with? And what do I mean by that is, if you miss the finals because you didn't trade, are you going to be able to deal with that? And often a lot of people will answer no in that situation. Like if I could have traded and I could have done something to make it and I don't make it, I'm going to be really shattered, and I'm not going to be able to deal with my summer, or I'm going to hate Supercoach for the next 5 months or whatever. And so it is something that you have to take into consideration. And it's probably something where I probably lean towards taking the risk of just going for it and then hoping for the best.
It's certainly taking a risk either way, as you said, Mark. I think my one sort of bit of tangible advice that I'd give is you can play by ear a little bit. So watch the games as they unfold. If you know that you've had a poor score in the first few rounds, then now you're really incentivized to take a risk, because somebody getting injured, going off with a 20, or a poor game where Rocky Court scores 60, you can quite quickly tell, hey, this is something that I might have to try and overcome with a trade to try and correct a particularly poor score. Or if your opponent gets lucky with Mitchell and hits a 190 captain and you've only got, you're stuck with a 120, maybe that's something that you try and make up with a trade. So my one sort of bit of advice is, keep track of the games as they go, and make a call during the actual weekend on whether or not you pull that trigger. If you're looking like you're going to be ahead, or that you're willing to take a gamble over the next for the remainder of the round, then hold steady. And if you see anything that might trigger you to make a trade, then maybe go a bit more aggressively.
Yeah, I mean, it's good advice. I don't think it works in every situation, because the players you may want to be trading out might be playing early in the round or something. So that's definitely something to keep in mind, though. It is good advice. It's just it's not going to work always. And really, it's a pretty competitive league. If you're sitting 8th and you've only got 3 trades left, means there probably wasn't a lot along the way that you could have done with going harder to make the top 4 or anything. I think that another situation where a lot of people are going to be facing a similar decision is they're sitting in the top 4. Do they try and shore that spot up by going with an extra trade this week, or do they actually just hold off and try and use those trades in the finals? And I think that decision is actually just as tricky, because a double chance coming into finals is a massive advantage. It really does make a huge difference. So normally, it's not always, but normally the grand final when it comes to.
Yeah, but then again, I think in one of our most competitive leagues that we've been playing for multiple years now, I think in 2 of the last 3 years, the winners come from 5th to 8th, because it's not like in the regular AFL finals where if you play the prelim, you actually get a week off. Like, it's a little bit of bad luck. Like, you could just run into a hot opponent and get knocked out anyway. So, yeah, like you said, it's a challenging decision regardless. Unfortunately, Steve, with three trades to go, there's not sort of hard advice that you can really give. But I think that's a good point that you raised there. Nonetheless, it's equally tricky if you're considering that sort of run, Mark. We got another question here from Heath Yasunaga on Facebook. Which teams have a good run into the Supercoach finals? Now, this is an interesting one, especially this year with, you know, even Gold Coast beating Sydney on the weekend. And I think there's only one team which you can definitively say is struggling, and that's Carlton. But even Frio, we've seen put up competitive performances at times. So, or at least, you know, playing very dour games and trying to limit the scoring of the top end premiums. I'm really struggling to read into the finals draw at this stage, Mark. Wondering whether you can sort of shed a little bit more insight into that, or if you found any team that you're targeting for the finals.
Not really, mate. I know that West Coast have Brisbane in the final, and that is probably a pretty good draw, Brisbane at home. But then is there too many West Coast players that you're really going to be bringing into your side? And most teams have a bit of a mix, and there's so many teams still in contention that there's not going to be a whole lot of easy games. I don't have I think everyone's got a bit of a tricky draw. Some harder than others, like the Bombers have a really hard draw. But no, I don't. This year, I don't really have any really specific advice for that, sorry, mate.
Yeah, I think Adelaide of Carlton in round 23, but then round 19 Melbourne, round 20 Port, round 21 GWS, round 22 North. Like all teams still fighting hard for the top eight. It's a challenge. The one that I maybe could suggest is North. They've got West Coast this week, but then for the finals, they've got Brisbane, Bulldogs, Adelaide, and St Kilda. So that doesn't seem too bad.
Yeah, no, that's pretty good relative because, yeah, there's not too many teams out there that have clearly, clearly good draws. Yeah.
All right. Next to the overrated, underrated segment that we debuted last week, Mark, let's go through a few players again this week. The first couple are repeats, but probably Bears a repeat following their results on the weekend. So,
two questions. Why haven't we got any intro music? And. You're saying that we've done this segment twice and you've already got repeated players. You know that there's 600 players in the AFL or something, right?
Thanks, mate. I'll answer that. Just going into why they bear repeating, but thanks there. Christian Petrarca, he just scored 100, mate, on the weekend. I think last week we maybe weren't as excited about him, but 100 and a loss seemed encouraging, and I think you showed some love for him on the forums through the week.
Yeah,
you mentioned you're thinking about starting him in the forward line next year.
Well, I think that one good thing is the way that he's played this season, he'll be almost definitely available as a forward next year.
Mm.
And I think what he's shown in the last couple of weeks, which I was kind of hoping for, or I know that he had a down game 2 weeks ago, but he has shown more of the Christian Petrarca that he's shown at different times, which is just the great ball-winning ability, the contested ball-winning ability, the big moment ability. I know that he just bombed the ball into the forward line at the end, which may have led to them losing the game, and I don't expect that to happen again, but I think he learned from that one pretty quick. But I just think that he's shown some stuff in the last few weeks that there's something developing there, and next year he may not get the full mid-time to get the full breakout, given Melbourne's lineup and their need for him to play up forward a bit. But I just think that he, even at the start of the preseason, I thought it might be a year early on him. And I still probably think that. So next year, expecting big things.
But for the rest of the season?
Underrated.
Underrated. Okay. Jack McRae, he's an interesting one. He scored, I think, in the 70s or in the 60s on the weekend. And funny enough, we still had, you know, another two questions on whether or not to trade McRae in this week. So I thought worth revisiting instead of tackling him in a trade question. Overrated or underrated?
Just because of the hammy injury and where Doggy's situation of the season is, a bit overrated.
All right, the next few are new, and they've had a bit of a hot run, so it'd be interesting to get your thoughts on them. The first, arguably the game winner from that Melbourne-Geelong game, Tommy Hawkins. He's averaging 90 7 for the season, and I think that almost puts him in the top 6 forwards for the year, which I don't think a lot of people would have guessed at the start of the season. His basement seems to have increased a bit. He started the year with 250s in the first 4 rounds, but since then, he's not scored under 84 since round 6.
Wow, that is actually pretty impressive.
Mm.
From that perspective, you'd say he's underrating. Is that'd be pretty close to his best season ever, wouldn't it?
Yeah, especially in terms of general disposals around the ground. He's not necessarily playing that same midfield winger role as some of the other forwards might, like Buddy and Hogan, but he's been leading really deep into the midfield to provide options and been clunking and kicking a few. So, yeah, certainly being a surprise packet.
Yeah.
We got questions about him for the run home, so I thought it was legitimate. Like, people are considering him as, you know, potentially a POD.
Okay, I hadn't really considered him from a Supercoach perspective. I think underrated, but I think you may be getting a little bit excited based on his match-winning performance from the weekend.
Something to keep in mind, he does have Brisbane, Frio and Gold Coast in round 23 and Frio in round 22. So if you're a Geelong supporter and hoping that they win in those two, they play in GMHBA Stadium in those two games. And so even for a finals pick, he might not be too bad a POD.
Well, I was talking to my wife on the weekend about the Geelong theme song. Do you reckon, you know, at the end how they say down at Cadinia Park?
Yeah.
I reckon they could change it to down at GMHBA Stadium.
You know what's funny? I saw an article the other day where they were still referring to it as
Simmons.
Skilled skate. Yeah.
Oh, skilled Simmons. Or Simmons,
yeah. GMHBA definitely doesn't roll off the tongue. I think that's the second time we've caught flack for that from you on the show too. All right, another interesting character. He's up and down and does fly a little bit under the radar in Supercoach circles. Jeremy Howe, 474,000, averaging 96 for the year.
I think he's probably appropriately rated, actually. I rate him pretty highly. Just his injury potential as some problem, although I mean pretty durable, but just he seems to get injured during games or something like that a bit. I think he was in amazing form and really posting some great stuff, and then has struggled a little bit since round 10 and hasn't posted quite the scores. I'd say he's about appropriately rated, maybe a little bit underrated.
Next one, Lukey Bruce. Now, he's certainly a POD for the run home if you're considering him. He's averaging about 96.
Yeah.
And wouldn't be in too many teams.
My advice, don't get sucked in. I've done that before. Overrated.
Of the last 5 rounds, Mark, 109, 114, 124, 131, and 165.
165? Did you say there was a 46 in there against Brisbane?
No, I didn't mention that part.
Yeah. Yeah, so look, Bruce is an absolute gun. He is a really, really good football player and deserves his premierships and was a big part of that. Don't get sucked in.
Appropriately rated, considering he's not in too many teams then.
Overrated.
All right, let's go to some rookies before we wrap the show up. O'Riordan, Mark.
Let's bang on. Oh, come on. I wanted you to butcher it again.
80 to back up his 85. That's not too bad there.
Brilliant. Really, really good. Yep, the new Ty Connelly. I think Sydney got a few injuries, so, yeah, he may be a good pick if you're looking for a player this week. As good as there is out there.
Mm-hmm. And if you're looking to downgrade a McInerney type who's reached about 280K and is fresh off a 90, you may consider Cameron either this week or next week. He made his debut, which is brilliant.
Went massive.
25.
Yeah. A lot of people actually have him in from the start of the season when we saw the injuries to the Sydney Rocks. He was definitely in my team for most of the preseason. Glad I didn't go there, though. And Alex Morgan... Alex Morgan was barely sighted during that game and then picked up another injury to a calf, as I forecast last week on the show.
Hmm. All right, Mark. Captain's Corner to wrap us up. I'm guessing you're a little bit bitter after missing out on a 193 last week, so you'll want to hit it out of the park. Who are you looking at this week, mate?
Jeez, thanks for putting the pressure on me, mate. Look, I've got captain a lot of options with my captain. Because I can go right up to the last game, but I guess I would leave Mitchell against Freo, and I just don't see Freo letting Mitchell go free again. And Mitchell, I'd rather vice-captain Mitchell. That's why I didn't go Mitchell captain this week. I didn't even really consider him because he's been so up and down. I didn't really want. I thought he was a better vice captain than captain option. Gorn against Jacobs, like over there, it's not super, super enticing, but he'll probably be part of the equation. And Carlton and the Suns play each other. Miller will go to Cripps, I guess, and so there's not a lot of love in that game. Yeah, I think Danger against the Lions. I don't have Danger against the Lions, but I'd be going Danger into Gorn personally if I had Danger. I might go Dusty into Gorn.
I think that's a good call there. I'm definitely looking at Danger pretty closely. He seems to be over whatever niggle he'd previously had. He's been playing more midfield minutes when it actually counts, and he has been doing well at the coalface. So I think that's a good call there. Kelly against St. Kilda wouldn't be too bad a backup option if Dangerfield's not trending well as a captaincy option. Cornelio freshly off a 143. That was interesting to see after a little bit of a cold patch, but I think I'd still go Kelly over him.
Did you see that? I'd definitely go Kelly over him, but most of his points are in the last quarter. Like, he was doing okay to the last quarter, and then he just destroyed that game.
Yeah. And something that definitely noticed in that game is Cornelius playing forward, and not just forward, but like the deepest forward. He was playing out of full forward for a while there.
Yeah, almost the Dusty role. I think he did... I can't remember which one it was, but I'm pretty sure he won a game almost of his own boot out of full forward in the first five rounds of the season. There was one game, it might have been against North at Etihad or something, that was just massive, massive last quarter playing in that role. So his ability to win the contested ball one-on-one, whether it's in the air or on the ground, is pretty high. So I think that they see him as their sort of version of Dusty in that way.
Do you think it could be some sort of niggle that might be pushing him up there together with that fact?
Potentially, because he has been down a little bit, but I actually just genuinely think that they rate him that highly and see him as, like, Collingwood's been doing it a lot successfully with Pendles, Treloar, Degoe, those sort of players, and I think that that's GWS version of that, because Kelly's not really going to be able to play out of that role. Dylan Shield's not really going to be able to play that role. Ward, probably not really suited to that role either. So Cornelio, out of those four gun midfielders, seems to be the best at that isolated full forward sort of position. So that's why he would be there, I would say.
Dusty against Collingwood, he seems to have turned it up a level pretty recently.
Collingwood have basically dropped the tag this year. I think that Pendles has done a lot of around the stoppage tagging and done a really, really good job at that. So that would worry me a little bit. But yeah, I think that Dusty against Collingwood is probably someone who will end up in my calculations. He looked brilliant on the weekend, and he did look back to Dusty-like form.
I think after all that, I'll probably be most likely to do Danger into Kelly.
Okay. I'd do Danger into Gorn, personally, if I was you.
Not concerned about Jacobs?
Yeah, but it's Maxi Gorn. I'm not sure what the situation is at the moment with overall points, but I was hanging out with a guy a couple of weeks ago that got Gorn at $81 to 1. To be the highest scoring Supercoach player over the course of the season. So highest ranking Supercoach scorer over the course of the season.
Is that total points or average?
Highest average. Minimum, like, I don't know what the minimum is, but like minimum like 13 or 14 games. And so I think he's running pretty close to Grundy, and Mitchell's just gone ahead of him at the moment. So he was ahead until...
until the 192, he'd be pissed about that.
Yeah, he's tracking the points pretty closely.
I mean, Gorn for the Brownlow or that bet would have been pretty brilliant in hindsight. All right, Mark, thanks for another show. Even though you were joking about it, I think we won't have you on for a little bit unless you can spare some extra time. And so thanks for all your contributions so far throughout the year, mate. It's been a pleasure having you on, even though you've been ribbing me. Thankfully, I'm only 150 points behind, so I'm going to smash you in the finish.
Yeah, it sucks a little bit that I won't be on for a few weeks, and I'll let you off pretty lightly today.
All right, and just a quick shout out to our patrons as well. Thanks for everyone who's continued to support us. We really, really appreciate the continued support all the way up to, you know, around heading into round 19 now, and it's that support that might potentially see us kick on in some form next year. So thank you so much. We really couldn't do it without you. And yeah, with that, we'll sign off, and we'll catch you again next week. See ya.
See you guys. Don't want to make you crazy. Don't want to make you crazy.